Well, amen. Amen. One more time. Amen. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in the book of John, chapter 15. John, chapter 15, as you're turning, I'll share a little bit, especially for the folks who hadn't been here in a little while, maybe visiting or something like that. But for the past, I don't know, 4 or 5 weeks, maybe 6 weeks, we've been talking about fruit trees and fig trees and digging around the roots and fertilizing and watering and so we can produce fruit. Right, guys? And so last week we talked about growth and how we grow in the Lord and using the metaphor of the tree and the fruit and the soil. And so today we're going to talk about something that maybe is not as exciting as fertilizing growth and that kind of thing. Today we're going to talk about pruning. So hang with me, right? It's the God's Word, so I'm not going to sugarcoat it. And so we're going to dive into about how God prunes us and that sort of thing. So let's actually next week will be the last week in this series. So hopefully I'll be here next Sunday. Amen. We'll see. So let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for the ones that are here this morning. Thank you for these wonderful families and all these children. And Lord, I love to hear the little sounds of the kids, and that's okay. I love the kids, and thank you, Lord, for our nursery workers and everybody that's behind the scenes doing things and serving. They're serving you, they're serving our church family. Lord, as always, I thank you, Lord, for our missionaries who are spreading the good news around the world. And Lord, we pray for our Annie Armstrong bike-a-thon coming up in a few days, and pray that they'll be a blessing and have fun and raise money for our home missionaries here in North America. Lord, we lift up our military and our government and ask that you direct our steps and protect our military around the world, doing what they do. Love you. Lord, help me this morning with this message. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Everybody say amen one more time.
Amen.
I need some encouragement. Amen, right? So John 15, 1 through 5. So here we go. I'm using the New King James Version this morning. All right, so Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Verse 3, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. I'm going to read that one again because I want that to sink in with you. So nowhere in here does it talk about how you can lose your salvation, okay? So something, you know, Slewfoot likes to go there sometimes when we talk about pruning and those kind of things. So verse 3 says, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. And everybody said amen. Amen. You see, a natural part of an organic relationship with God is the process of pruning. And we're going to talk a lot about that this morning, so hang with me. Pruning is not always easy, and sometimes it's painful. Okay? Just as a plant is healthier after the pruning process, so are Christians, because most of the time we're re-energized for more growth. A Christian always experiences growth when unhealthy areas of our lives are trimmed or thinned. This is what God does. Okay? Through this process can be a little painful sometimes. The outcome is usually divine and beautiful. I remember the first time on our campus where I work, we planted knockout roses. And they looked really cool. They come up, they were beautiful. And they pulled up one day at work, and one of our counselors who he knew a lot about flowers and outdoor and, you know, landscaping. And he was out there and he had trimmed all the knockout. They were about this big, you know, about 2 or 3 foot. He had trimmed them down to like 1 foot. They looked so ugly. I got mad. I was like, what are you doing? You know, I was ignorant, you know. What are you doing? Hey. And finally he said, calm down, Dallas. I promise you, in just a little while, man, they'll be beautiful. I said, all right, I trust you. This is Jeff, right? And I said, okay. And lo and behold, in a little while, you know, a few weeks, whatever, they were beautiful. They looked better than they were, you know. It was a beautiful. Anybody ever know what I'm talking about? You turn back and, sorry, I just didn't know that much about that kind of stuff. But it was beautiful, you know. And he was right, you know. As followers of Christ, we must see God's work in our lives as something that He wants best for us and to bring glory to Him. That's what this pruning is about. It's about Him trying to do what's best in our life, and also it's about what brings Him glory. Amen? You got to remember this. Everybody say, I will remember this. 1, 2, 3, go. I remember this. I'm hammering this on for like 2 or 3 weeks. God is the divine gardener. He is the divine gardener. And with us as believers, our spiritual growth is one of His top priorities. He wants us to grow. He will use anything in our lives to shape us into the people that He has called us to be. Our divine destiny. He wants us to grow and grow and become the men and the women that He's called us to be. And that's a good thing, isn't it? That's a good thing. You see, if there's something in our lives that is good, but not the best, not really His will, God will want to prune it, trim it. If there's something in our lives that is unhealthy for us, God will want to prune it, trim it. Give a little haircut, maybe not as close as Adam's, but He wants to give us. God, I thought about that earlier, and I knew where my sermon. I said, I'm not going to do it, but I got to. Actually, I need a haircut. Oh no, I'll be looking like that guy on the Munsters. What was his name? The bald head guy? Never mind. Lana is going to give me a haircut. So I'm saving $20 a month. See, put that $20 to that dumb little credit card. Seriously. 3, 4, 5. Anybody know me? Save some money. Why am I going on this? Jesus is the source. He's the source of our life. And as Christians, as followers of Christ, we must remain connected with Him. Okay? We must make a conscious effort. This is not going to supernaturally happen. You guys know that, right? We have to make a conscious effort each day to stay connected with Jesus. And then we've got to get on board. We've got to get on board when God starts pruning us. And we've got to accept it. We should join with Him. Join with Him when He starts pruning our lives. Maybe our marriage. Maybe personal things. Maybe secrets. I don't know. We need pruning. We need cut. We need completely chopped off. Maybe it's a small thing. Maybe it's a big thing. Amen? We've talked a lot about that over the last 2 or 3 weeks. Last week we talked about the growth and how it is God that brings the growth. It's not by human hands, but it's about God causing this growth. But we must be a part of that process. This week we're going to talk about pruning. I just mentioned earlier, it's part of the growth process. And Don talked to me last week a little bit about that and gave me a few little tips, and it got me going researching and looking into it. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. What does pruning really mean? Pruning is defined as this. It says, and we can talk about a tree or a shrub or a bush, right? We're talking about the plant world. Pruning is defined as trim by cutting away dead or overgrown branches or stems, especially to increase fruitfulness and growth. You guys with me? Okay, like many aspects of our faith journey, pruning is not always easy, but it is necessary. It's part of growing in the Lord. So let's look at our scripture this morning. John 15:1-5. I've named or titled this sermon, God's Got a Green Thumb. You know, God's got a green thumb. He knows what He's doing with us. Okay? Verse 1. Two things are plainly communicated in verse 1. Jesus makes it very clear that He is the vine. And He wants us to understand that there is no life apart from Him. All the nutrients needed for a plant to grow travel through the roots to the limbs by the trunk and stem. So all that we need in life, all that we need to live life and life more abundantly, it comes by and through Jesus. And the second thing is that we've talked about last week a little bit is that God is the one that gives this growth. There is no other human being, no one capable of helping us grow in the Lord like God Almighty who created us. Amen? So we got to remember that. Trust Him. God is the divine gardener. He is the master architect at facilitating this growth. If you need growth in your marriage, stay connected to Jesus. Stay connected to the Word of God. Now, these two things are incredibly important. Very important in our growth with the Lord. Guys, God loves us. He loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love. And He wants what's best for you. Sometimes we think we need this or that, don't we? Sometimes we think that we should go here or go there. But God knows exactly what we need. We have to trust Him. Romans 8:28, familiar verse. Romans 8:28, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Think back what the definition of pruning is, to trim and cut away things that are dying or dead or not fruitful or preventing growth. This is one of the main jobs of the gardener. Sometimes a plant will give out too much energy, too much nutrients trying to help other branches that are dead. Maybe they need to be cut away. In our lives, we have those kind of things, those things that are hindering us from really growing. Maybe it's some kind of sin that needs to be removed, completely chopped off in a way. Sometimes it's a little habit, a little thing that we picked up. Here's one that we don't think about sometimes. Maybe it's some sort of discipline in our lives that we need to accept. I don't know. It may be even something good in our lives that's distracting us from something great. Maybe it's fear. You've allowed fear to control your life. Afraid to step out and do this or that or whatever maybe God's calling you to do. Maybe it's fear of rejection of man. Fear of abandonment. Maybe God's calling you to do something in your life and you're worried about what people would think about you. There's a lot of issues. There's a lot of things in our lives that God wants to trim and prune and get out of our lives. Maybe it's a low self-esteem. Maybe it's a low self-worth. Amen? You see, if the earthly gardener was so concerned about this pruning and gardening so the fruit can be there, how much more do you think our Heavenly Father, the divine gardener, the master architect of growth, how much more concerned He is for our lives, for us to grow and become the men and women that He's called us to be? I know I've said that many times. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also, ready? Let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Guys, the pruning that God does in our lives is not because He is angry with us and wants to punish us. I'm going to say that again. The pruning that God does in our lives is not because He is angry with us and wants to punish us. That's not it. Actually, it's quite the opposite. According to Hebrews, we just read, there is a race that has been marked out for us that results in a heavenly prize. A heavenly prize. And for me, and based on the Bible study that I've done and the research I've done with this, the heavenly prize has nothing to do with anything that's considered of value on this earth. Nothing. It's not going to be trophies or gold or silver or bronze. For me, I think it's going to be souls in heaven. These are the prizes. This is the race that we're running as believers. This is the prize when we get to heaven. That you raised your boys right and you taught them the goodness of God and you taught them about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. You taught your children, your grandchildren. You role modeled this in your neighborhood and at your work and your surroundings. You loved people. You planted seeds. You watered those seeds. And somewhere down the road, God gave the harvest. And like we talked about last week, those prizes. For some of you, there'll be hundreds of people in heaven because of the little seeds of love and mercy and grace and those little seeds Not that you went door to door and give out a tract 50 times a day and 50 times a week. Like some folks we know that are trying to earn their way to heaven. No, it's because of what you did in your life and you role modeled love and grace and mercy and kindness, goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. People saw that in your life and they said, wow, I want what John has. John works a big place, a lot of people. You know, John always seems very kind and considerate and thoughtful. And you've been there for a long time, right? Guarantee you, I can't guarantee, but I'm almost sure that there's someone that you don't realize you're making a huge difference in their life. They're watching you and they're observing and you're planting seeds, right? And they probably go home, talk to their wife and say, you know, there's this dude at work, man named John. And, you know, he's just, you know, they had a rough time going on, but he just keeps chugging along, man. I think I want what he has. Amen? These are those prizes that we're talking about. Because see, you might not be that one that leads 1,000 people to Christ, but you can definitely be that one who plants the seeds. Plants the seeds. And you can definitely be that one who waters. Who waters with more kindness, more prayers for them, praying for this person, that person. Amen? In order to run this race well, we have to remove those things that will disqualify or hinder us from running this race. I mentioned low self-esteem or low self-worth. A lot of folks struggle with that. Always worried about what people are going to think about them. You can overcome that. Jesus can help you. Jesus can trim that away and give you that confidence to at least say, hey, where do you go to church? Or, I'll be praying for you. But some folks suffer so bad with the low self-esteem and low self-worth that they fear man so much they won't even say one thing to one person. And if that's you, I'm not talking about you or talking down to you. I'm trying to encourage you that God wants you to grow, and he may want to trim a few little limbs. He may want to prune a few things. This is not easy, and it's uncomfortable. But in the end, the things that we see when we finish our race, we know the impact that we've had on people's lives, our children, our grandchildren, our neighbors. I keep mentioning all that, but it's worth it. It's worth it. I mean, Stephen and Heather probably will never realize on this earth the seeds and the watering that they're planting through this one little 9-week class on getting out of debt. I'm sure it will affect generations of people. Not just our little turtle doves that's in the class, right? But it'll affect generations of people. God wants to prune us. He's been pruning me for a while. It's not always easy. Like most of you know, I think, I'm not sure. But, you know, God's been pruning away some pride in my life and ego and things like that, you know. I've always been this hard charger, gonna do it, I can do it, I don't need no help, if I gotta do it, I do it myself. Anybody suffer with that? Man disease? It's mainly man disease. So in Penfield, where I work, they offered me an opportunity to be the director of the whole program. I said, sure, I could be the director and be in charge of everything. And also, I'll take a little caseload, too, of counseling. I'll do some counseling and teaching and run the whole campus and pastor church. Well, most of you that personal with me. Seen how that worked out, you know. And so I gave up that director position 2 or 3 weeks ago. And they brought a new director in. And he's a real nice guy, and I would go back to counseling, being a counselor. And I absolutely love it. I think about 90% of my stress is gone. And the doctor told me that a lot of that stress can cause physical problems. And, you know, I was like, whatever. Marine Corps taught you the weakness is, you know, pain is just weakness coming out of your body. Stupid. Maybe that's good if you're charging to heal in Vietnam or something. Right? I didn't go there. I wasn't old enough for that. Now look at all the wives looking at their husbands right now. That's funny. But I tell you, not being the director there, you know, that's been a humbling experience for me. Every day I have to watch out for my ego and my pride. It just, you know, not go into detail about that. And be grateful. Be thankful, and God's just trimming away. I see him every day, you know. Someone come up, and I'm like, oh. I have to just be quiet. Go in my office, shut my door. Hey, Fred, come here. Do some counseling. I almost led someone to the Lord a couple days ago. It was a beautiful thing. And all of last year, I don't think, I may have won. Maybe one, but I don't think I led not one person to Christ last year. Maybe there might have been one. Personally. But God knows, before that, I was leading 30 to 50. We kept up good Baptists. We kept up with our numbers. Anywhere from 30 to 50 men a year, I'd lead to Christ personally in my office. Sinner's prayer, get saved, born again. You know, every year. Some 50, 60. So see, God didn't want me worried about commodes, did he? Sewer systems and fights and junk and mess. God wanted me back in there in front lines winning souls to Christ. But he had to prune my ego and pride. He's still working on me. Amen? A healthy connection to the vine will produce fruit. A healthy connection to the vine will produce good fruit. You see, a mature Christian is someone whose strength comes from living connected to Jesus Christ. In Galatians, we talked about that last week, right? Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. And I think I just mentioned the fruits of the Spirit. These are things that I think each believer really want to grow in, don't you? Don't you want to have more love, joy, and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control? We all want to grow in those different those different areas of life. I really do believe that. The only way that this can happen is staying connected with Christ. Don't fall for the trick of saying this. You know what? I need to be more loving. I think I'm going to be more loving. You'll end up being a bitter person. I'm going to be more patient. I'm just going to be more patient. I'm just going to start becoming more joyful. Yay, you're just going to be a weirdo is what you're going to end up being. You know? Really? I'm going to be more faithful. All these fruits. We can't produce those fruits. I don't want to step on Kelly's toes. I know she's got a cool Bible study for that, but we can't produce those fruits in our life. God produces those fruits. The Holy Spirit produces those fruits. When we're connected with Christ, we're connected with Him, and that the deeper our roots go, the more connected we are, the more that Jesus produces more love and more joy. Because the Bible says the joy comes from where? Joy comes from the Lord. You know, all this stuff. God is love. You want more love? Then connect with God. Connect with Him. Allow the Holy Spirit to help you be more patient, more kind, more faithful, more gentle. Because when you anyway, I don't want to go there. Jesus, help me. As we remain connected to Jesus, our Heavenly Father, the divine gardener, prunes away the unhealthy, fruitless parts of our lives. All right, so I'm going to close here. Spiritual growth does not and cannot happen by accident. We just don't stumble up and start becoming more mature in Christ. It's a choice that we make to get up 30 minutes earlier and read a little bit in the Bible. Or listen to, Bible guy, preacher guy on the radio, or do something. Take a little time and pray. I mean, that cool little app, what's it called? Remember I feel like I'm preaching to the choir now, but our Daily Bread, remember that? I used to love to read that thing. You can get an app on your phone now, and it'll actually read it to you. It'll read it to you. Oh, that's a cool story. Something like that. Anything that we can do. You don't have to sit out every day and do an hour and a half deep Bible study. Nobody does that. If they do, yeah, okay. Maybe somebody does. I don't do that. I don't sit down and study the Bible for an hour or two every day. Is it okay if I be that honest with you? Of course not. None of us do, really. Taking that quality time. Maybe there's just one or two people. I don't know. I'm going to let that go. Stop. The Christian life is a process that we enter. This is a cool thing right here. I'm just going to read it to you. The Christian life is a process that we enter when the seed of the gospel is planted in us. When that seed of the gospel was planted in us and we accepted Christ as our personal Savior, we believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. We begin to open up and God begins to work in our life. And He begins the process of us growing and becoming what our divine destiny is. And it's a beautiful thing. To grow in faith takes intentional effort. Takes fierce determination. It takes the unquenchable grace of God. I love that part. The unquenchable grace of God. He loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love. Amen? See, I believe that it's okay. You come to God just as you are. Amen. But what's equally true is He doesn't want you to stay just as you are. So I have three questions for you, and they're in your bulletin. They're in the bulletin. There's three questions. I hope you prayed last week on that prayer that I asked you to pray over yourself each day. If you didn't, no condemnation. Amen. No condemnation. So in your bulletin, I have three questions. And here's the first question. What are some specific areas of your life that could use some pruning to allow for healthy growth to happen? So this week, what I want you to do is I want you to really think about it. Just some small things, maybe. Some things, small things that I got to cut this out. I got to let God trim this away. And I got to give this up. Just maybe small things. Next is, what are some areas that need to be completely trimmed off for the sake of future growth? In other words, deep down in your heart that you're never really going to get real close to God and really grow in Him if you don't let this go. You're going to have to get over this. You're going to have to quit doing that. And deep down in your heart that, yeah, I'm saved. You're saved, born again. You got some fire insurance. You're good to go. You're a Christian, follower of Christ. But in order to really grow like God wants me to grow, I'm going to have to let Him cut this off. Amen? This is personally. It's not, it's not, this is personal. And then the third question is kind of different. It says, are there areas in the past that you now recognize God pruned away for healthy new growth to occur? If you've been a follower of Christ for long, you know what I'm talking about. You can look back, right? Hindsight's 20/20. You can look back years ago and go, whew, you know, I didn't like it when I went through that. Didn't, you know, but now I see where God was working on me. And he was correcting some things, he was trimming some things, he was pruning some things to get to where I am now. And where I am now is awesome. I feel good, I'm excited, I'm growing in the Lord, I'm going to church more, I'm studying the Bible more, I'm tithing, you know, I'm giving, I'm, you know, I'm supporting missions or whatever, and things are going really good. That's awesome. But I think God wants to take you even further, you know? Take you even further. I think I was joking with Mr. Jesse earlier. We were talking about we'll actually never get to that full potential until we go to heaven and we get that heavenly body. And right? So life is a journey and we're always growing and growing. That's the deal. We all need to trust that God knows what he is doing. Amen? Your garden, your tree... Remember, it's a parable. Your garden, your tree, will be fruitful in the hands of the divine gardener. Trust him. All right, so here's the prayer. The prayer that I want you to pray over yourself this week is in the bulletin. Amen? Who would like to volunteer to read it? Stand up, read it loud. Okay. Everybody listen. Amen. Thank you, hon. It's in your bulletin, so if you want to take it home, and I encourage you to pray that over yourself all this week until next Sunday. And Mr. Gary and Miss Mary Ann's going to come up, and we're going to close with the song of invitation. So if you've never accepted Christ in your life as your personal Savior, or maybe you have something you want to come up to the altar and just kind of pray and ask God to trim this thing away and help you, maybe prune a little bit of what's going on in your life, this would be a good opportunity. If you'd like to join our church, I'd love to talk with you. And, so let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you for your word. As always, Lord, we know that your word is everything that we need. Lord, we know that it's truth. It's without error. It's living, sharper than a two-edged sword. It gives us guidance. It encourages us. It corrects us. It rebukes us. It gives us everything that we need to live life and be fruitful on this planet. It's everything that we need to be the man and the woman and the grandparent, husband, wife, everything that we need to be fruitful. In Jesus' name, amen.